Do you know what it is to walk with the Lord?
Amen. To know that He'll walk with us no matter where we go and what situation we are in. Let's do G.
Let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. I've been on the mountain with Jesus. I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. Went to Him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, make heaven my home. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. Could never, no, never make heaven my home.
I want to thank Sister Linda. She said that they went by to see Mother today and had prayer with her. And Mother got to feeling pretty good and started speaking in tongues. Amen. Isn't that precious? Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes she can't even get a complete sentence out, but she was able to speak in tongues to her Lord and Savior. You see, Mom's been walking with Jesus a long, long time. Ever before I came into this world, she had dedicated her life and her service to the Lord and asked Jesus Christ to come into her life as Lord and Savior. Her dad pastored a church in Cedartown, Georgia, and they lived in Rockmart, Georgia. Well, the night she got the Holy Ghost, her and her cousin got it on the same night. They were actually born in the same year, 1 month apart, both in 1934, one on June the 4th, one on July the 4th. The one on July the 4th has gone home to be with the Lord, but that night they both received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the same meeting in the same altar. They carried both of them home that night, speaking in tongues. They had just taken over the service, just praising the Lord. So I thank God that even when our bodies begin to wear out, even when we seemingly have gone almost to the end of our journey, God is still just as real, and we can still walk with Him. Amen. This is for Mother.
I've been on the mountain with Jesus. I've been in the valley so low, but not one time has He failed me. Went to Him with my troubles I go. So let me walk with you, Jesus, and don't ever
You glad he won't leave you?
Well, glory to God in the house tonight. We love you folks. We appreciate you for coming out on a Sunday evening. Hope and pray that you've had a good and wonderful day. If you have your Bibles tonight, we'll go for just a little while to the book of Romans, into the 6th chapter of the book of Romans tonight. Let us go to the 12th verse tonight. We'll read verses 12 through 18. Again, reading from the book of Romans, chapter number 6, beginning with verse number 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Can we bow our heads in prayer tonight? Brother Chris, would you ask God's anointing and his blessing upon his messenger? Yes, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Tonight I want to speak on servants of righteousness. Servants of righteousness. The apostle here begins to write to the church in Rome and begins to encourage the saints of God. But he also begins to instruct them as well into how that they should carry on their life as Christians and how that they should be obedient unto the Lord in all areas of their life. The word that particularly stands out to me here in this passage of Scripture is the word yield. Yield means to give up or to surrender. I believe with all of my heart, as we begin to walk with God, as we invite Him to be Lord and Savior of our life,
I believe it does come with instruction. I believe it does come with total and absolute surrender. One of the hardest things for us to do when we are beginning to walk with the Lord and we have invited Jesus into our life and we become saved and anointed with the power of the Comforter that Christ Himself promised that we would receive. One of the hardest things that we have to do is to convince our flesh that we are no longer what we once was. The Bible uses great terminology and great words to tell us that there has been a transformation that has taken place, that old things are passed away and all things have become new, and thank God for that. And when we receive the power of God, when we receive the Spirit of the Lord into our life, I've often said that it does make the world look better. Amen. The skies even look bluer. Amen. All of these things begin to realize in our life what a great and wonderful God that we serve and how His mercy and how His grace is absolutely wonderful applied to our lives. But yet we still live and we still abide in a body of flesh. And our body of flesh tends to be carnal, as the Bible says. It is of the earth, so it is earthy in form. And so many times that body of flesh tends to want to hold on to the things of this world. And I believe with all of my heart that it takes constantly praying and seeking the will of God to make our lives and to make our bodies and to make ourselves become one with the Spirit of God, so that we would be submissive and obedient unto His will. Because many, many times the flesh wants to be contrary to the Spirit and does not want to be under subjection to the law or under subjection to the doctrine of God. And the Apostle Paul here tells us that we need to become servants of righteousness. And I think about the word servants, and I think about as a servant, amen, you absolutely are under the rule of that person that is over you. In this case, the deity would be God. We are under His guidance. We are under His wings. We are under His protection, but we are also under His obedience. And we need to have righteousness in our life. Oh, so much so that we need to become servants of righteousness, where it doesn't even take a thought that we have to make a decision, that it becomes automatic. I've often said that praise should not have to be encouraged. Praise should not have to be instructed, but praise should come automatically from our hearts. When we enter into the sanctuary, when we come into the presence of God, we should be so thankful, we should be so grateful for what God has done in our lives that we would automatically begin to praise Him and glorify Him and love Him and thank Him. We were talking this week about the power of God and how it came into the temple that was erected by Solomon and the power of God. Everything was laid out in order. All the vessels had been brought, the ones that David had brought, and they were there and everything was in order. And then the priest came in and they began to blow the trumpets. And the Bible tells us that the power of God was so real and it was so strong that it filled the whole tabernacle, amen, as a cloud. And the ministers could not even stand to worship or stand to minister in the presence of God because His Spirit was so great. That's the way that I want the Lord to control my life. I want to become a servant of righteousness and a servant of God. Amen. So that we automatically will turn from the wrong and to the right, and the things that come against us, we'll understand that we need to rebuke those things that are coming in the world. Amen. And live a holy and righteous life unto the Lord. I know it's good to be saved and I know it's good to be filled with the Spirit, but we have an opportunity, and I believe we have more than an opportunity. I believe we have an obligation to live a holy and righteous life unto the Lord, who is holy, by the way, and righteous in everything that He does. The Apostle Paul began to list some direct things that we need to understand. If we are to become servants of righteousness, if we are to truly yield ourselves to God, and when we yield ourselves to God, we don't just do a little bit of what He wants us to. Amen. We are totally submissive and obedient in our surrender of our body and our instruments and everything there is about us. If you have a talent, give that talent or use that talent for God. If you have a ministry, then praise God, use that ministry for God, whether it be teaching or preaching or evangelizing or whatever the case may be an instrument of righteousness and holiness unto God, so that God would get the honor and the glory. He says, let not sin reign. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. We know and understand that from the Word of God. But just because sin was once in our life doesn't mean it has to remain. Amen. If there's sin in our life, we need to get it out. Glory to God. We need to get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need to let it lie in our life and begin to fester. Let me tell you something. A lot of things in our life, and I want you to understand what I'm about to say, did not start off as sin. It maybe was a hindrance. It maybe was something in our life that began to fester. And if left unattacked or unprotected or whatever, that thing may begin to grow in our life. And if we don't take care of that situation, it could fester into sin. And the Bible says here, let not sin reign or rule in your life. How many knows that we have a great and mighty God that we're answerable to? Amen. And we are servants of righteousness. The second thing that he suggests or tells us is don't obey the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, more times than not, has gotten us into trouble. It's gotten humanity into trouble throughout the ages of time. Time that when people would try to satisfy their flesh and try to satisfy their own earthly desires. And we need to pray constantly, Lord, yield. I yield my spirit unto you. Lord, I surrender all that I am unto you, Lord. I give up, God. Lord, my independence, God. And I am dependent solely upon you. As the word yield began to really convey in my heart this week, and I begin to think about that, and I begin to say, Lord, do I really yield to you? Or Lord, do I just ask you to be there when I need you? Listen, when you yield to the Lord, it's more than just an hour and a half in service. It's more than just a little time of devotion and prayer. When you say that you yield your life unto the Lord, you're saying that everything that I am, everything that I'm about, God, I yield it to you and to your service that you would get honor and glory. Lord, if there be anything in me, God, Lord, that doesn't need to be there, purge it. Create within me a right spirit, God. I want to make judgment. Amen. And when I face the judgment seat of God, I want to know and understand that there is righteousness in my life. And I found out a long, long time ago, my righteousness is not any good. I need the righteousness of the Holy Spirit. I need His righteousness in my life. And I need to be answerable to that and be able to yield and not obey the lust of the flesh. Many people today, and I notice so many advertisements today on the television, and they tend to direct their selling point directly to the flesh. It's whatever feels good and whatever pleases the flesh or enhances the flesh, and it's become a way of life. But many, many times in the Word of God, we have to put that aside and we have to seek what the Lord wants in our life. I think about the patriarch Job, and I think about all that he had and how well it was in his life. And one by one, Satan began to attack him and began to take the things that were near and dear to him, and his possessions and his livestock and his children and his family and all of that. If ever there was a man on the face of the earth that maybe had an excuse to look at God and wonder, what in the world is happening to me, and why is all of these things taking place, it probably would have been Job. But Job did not have that mindset. And I believe that God knew that Job would stand when he allowed Satan to come against him. I believe God knew the kind of faith that Job had. I wonder today if God has placed that much trust in us today. Can we be as reliable? Can we be as faithful? Can we be as strong as the patriarch Job, in spite of all that he lost, in spite of everything that he happened to him, and finally his body was attacked? The Job, he fell down and he began to worship God. And he said, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job had understood what it meant to yield to God. Job understood that everything on this earth pales in comparison, amen, to a relationship with the Lord. And we need to understand that today if we, in fact, are going to become servants of righteousness. The third thing that he says is don't yield to unrighteousness. I know that political correctness has a great hold upon this world today. But can I urge you, if political correctness is not backed up by the Word of God, don't yield to unrighteousness. Don't yield to popular opinion. Can I tell you too that popular opinion doesn't always line up with the Word of God. In fact, more times than not, amen, it is the exact opposite of the Word of God. But can I encourage you today, as a born again Christian, can I encourage you today, as a servant of righteousness, don't yield to unrighteousness. No matter how good it is portrayed to you, no matter how tantalizing the devil makes it seem, no matter how alluring it is today, it is still unrighteousness. Whatever it wants to dress itself up as, it is still unrighteousness. And if it's against God, amen, then we need to rebuke it. Amen. Do not yield yourselves to unrighteousness. I thought about the word or the term peer pressure. Peer pressure is a very real thing. It is reality in our world today. We have had an opportunity to talk to a lot of young folks that are in a bad situation. This week alone, we have been contacted by three particular individuals, young individuals, that don't even have a place to lay their head. They say that family has turned their back. They say that people have turned their back on them. But I have to be very straight with them. And I have to tell them that many times it is not the fact that family and friends and church has turned their back on them, but it's because they have yielded themselves to the wrong thing. They have followed after unrighteousness when unrighteousness seemed popular. They followed after unrighteousness when unrighteousness seemed alluring. The lights looked so bright. The lifestyle looked so grand. But the devil never tells you the end of the story. He never tells you what happens when you're strung out and you have no place to go and you don't even have food for your body and you don't have a place to lay your head. And then you have to reach out to someone to help you. This is the things that Satan does not tell you when he begins to try to pull you into that sinful nature. But the Apostle Paul says in this word that we have been delivered from that. Thank God. Aren't you glad that God has reached down in His mercy and grace and He's pulled you out of that terrible sinful nature and He's set your feet on a solid rock and established your goings? That's not the case with so many. Certainly our hearts and our prayers, and we try to help folks and reach out to those folks and help them. But I told my wife, I said, what's going to happen if we put them up for a day or two? And then what's going to happen then? You see, Satan will make you think you have all the friends in the world. He'll make you think that life is great and grand until you're all alone. And then he's out there laughing in your face. Don't yield. Don't yield your body. Don't yield yourself to unrighteousness. He goes on to say, yield yourselves to God. Now, I read that and I said, God, I want to yield myself to you. And the Holy Spirit checked me. He said, why haven't you? I want to tell you that if you say that you want to yield yourself to God, you better be able to back it up. You better be able to follow through. Because if we totally and absolutely yield ourselves to God, we're saying that we're no longer our own. We are bought with a price. We have become enslaved to the righteousness of God. We have become servants of righteousness. We have become one that God is going to dictate in our life. He's going to direct us. He's going to instruct us and take care of us. But He's also going to have His will and His way in our life. And can I tell you, when you yield yourself unto God totally and you're absolutely submissive unto God, your desires and your will become secondary. So when we make that statement, let's make sure that we are dedicated enough to follow that. Lord, I yield myself to you. Everything that I am, everything that I'm about. God, my life, the things that I own, the things that You've allowed me to have, God, means absolutely nothing if I can't have You. You are the single most important thing in my life. And if I seek You, God, and if I seek You faithfully, Lord, and I place You at the top of my list of priorities, God, I know that You're going to take care of me. I know, God, that You're going to allow these other things to come into my life. But first and foremost, I've got to be able and I've got to be submissive enough to say, yes, I will yield to You, Lord. I will do what You have me to do. As I've said many, many times, when God asks or directs us, so many times we begin to make excuses. Listen, if we're going to yield ourselves to God, then we need to set aside our excuses. So many times we think God only calls those who are qualified. That's not the case. God qualifies the called. Amen. He'll qualify you. He'll meet your every need. He'll give you the words to speak. He'll give you the talent to use, to sing, to whatever the case may be, if you totally and absolutely yield yourself to God. I thought too this week, I've noticed something. I've noticed that in this area, and it may be true in other areas, that stop signs don't really mean what they once did. Has anybody else noticed that? My dad, when he was teaching me to drive, he told me to obey the rules and the stop signs and yield. Yield in some cases means speed up. An amber light means to kick it in a little faster and get on under there. But stop signs today, it seems like everybody's in a hurry and nobody wants to wait. And I guarantee you, if you come to a complete stop, somebody at that four-way stop is going to run on because they don't know how to yield. And I thought about that. And as God began to bring this to my thoughts and to my preparation, I began to think about that spiritually. I believe it's taking place spiritually, Brother Thomas. I believe a lot of people ain't got time to yield to God. A lot of people's got too many things going on in their life. And I'll guarantee you, most of those people that run those stop signs, they probably have a legitimate reason. Well, I'm running late. Come on. I didn't get up early enough. And if I don't beat that traffic, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. And they've crowded their mind and they've crowded their life with so many things. And so many times they're just, if I don't go on, somebody will. And they go. They don't understand what it means to yield. And that has even taken place in our life. So many times people have jumped right in front of you. And I thought about all of that. And I said, God, that is happening spiritually today. People don't know, saved people. People who walk with the Lord sometimes don't know how to fully yield unto God. Because we're always saying, God, I need You to do this. God, I want You to do this. God, I need this in my life. God, if You don't come on the scene, God, then I don't know what I'm going to do. Many, many times we don't pray like we used to say, God, have Your will in my life. Lord, whatever it is, whatever Your desire is, God, help me to be submissive. Help me to be obedient. Help me to yield to Your Spirit. You see, I grew up in a little church in Rockmart, Georgia, where my granddaddy was a pastor. And many, many times, you know, he would just slow the service down. He said, we need to yield to the Spirit of God. Well brother, that don't fit into our time schedule. We can't get in all the songs. We can't get in the receiving of the offering. How many know sometimes we just need to be still? We need to be still and listen to the Spirit of God and let God move. Let me tell you something. God can do more in 1 second than I could do in a lifetime of preaching. Amen. The Spirit of God can heal. The Spirit of God can deliver. The Bible says it takes the foolishness of preaching. Amen. So that we can be able to hear the Word of God and apply it to our lives and be submissive. But let me tell you, it is not the preacher that brings deliverance. It is God. Amen. It is the Spirit of God that can deliver you and set you free. And we need to yield to that Spirit. And when we yield to that Spirit, we pray the prayer that Jesus prayed. Father, not my will, but Thine be done. Even if it's hurtful. Even if it's against our flesh. Even if it's very, very difficult. to understand, the Apostle Paul says, yield yourselves to God. The fifth thing that he addresses is obedience. Not just any obedience. Obedience to righteousness. To righteousness. You know, righteousness once meant something in our world. Righteousness was something that you could talk about. Everybody knew exactly what you was referring to. It was the rightness of God. The rightness of His Spirit. Living right. Doing right. Treating one another right. Loving one another. As God Himself loved us. And Paul addresses this. That we need to be obedient to righteousness. Not obedient to the ways of this world. Not obedient to Satan's, all of his wiles that he comes against us. And what does he attack? Our flesh. The weakest part of us is that flesh. The Spirit is strong. The Spirit is able. But many, many times it is the flesh that is weak. And if you really want to strengthen that relationship with God, if you really want to walk in the statutes and the precepts of God and what He has laid down, then you learn to be obedient unto righteousness. When we are obedient unto righteousness, there's no questions asked. How many of us remember getting guidance and instruction from our parents? And the universal question was, why? How many remembers your parents said, because I said so? Amen. I heard that all my life when I was growing up. Because I said so. And then I heard, because I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. I'm your parent. Obedience unto righteousness sometimes means we don't get our way. Hello? You see, we have been so blessed by God. We have been such recipients of His grace and of His mercy and of the prayers that have been answered by Him. We have become a little bit spoiled, amen, by God's goodness. But sometimes when we are we're completely submissive unto God and totally yielding unto God, we don't get our way. Because our way is not God's way. We want God to put rubber stamps on our way, and we want God to sanction what we want Him to do. But many, many times we fail to ask God, is this where you want me to go? Is this what you want me to do? Is this who you want me to be? I want to be totally and absolutely obedient to righteousness. Because if we're not, and thank God for His mercy, thank God for His grace, I want to ask you something. Think about your personal relationships with others. And if some people had treated you the way that some folks treat God, would you ever want to forgive them? Come on. But God is plenteous in redemption. His grace is beyond our ability to fathom or comprehend. His love is amazing. Amen. And He loves us even in spite of sometimes when we are disobedient. I cannot tell you tonight that I have never been disobedient unto God, because that would not be true. I've paid the price. God reined me back in. Thank God that He cared enough. Amen. Because sometimes I want to go the opposite way. And when we want to go the opposite way, sometimes our hearing is a little dull, our spiritual hearing. We don't really hear the voice of God because He's not telling us what we want to hear. A man named Jonah, you remember what how trouble he got into because he was disobedient unto God. He wanted to go in a different direction. But you know what happened when he ended up in the belly of that great fish? And I want to know, maybe you've never had an opportunity to be in that great belly or that belly of the great fish. It may not be a physical fish. Come on, maybe it's the biggest, ugliest trial you've ever been in your life. And once you're in the belly of that great fish, you realize that I was disobedient. It's not God's fault that I'm here. And even when you think that that the end is near, and when you think that there is no way out of this situation, and you begin to pray and you begin to repent to God, you hear that still small voice saying, obey me. If you will obey me, I'll give you the good of the land. You shall eat the goodness of this land. And Jonah, when he got out of the belly of the whale, I will assure you, he was obedient unto God. Sometimes the greatest lessons that we learn are the times when we disobey God, and we have to have God check us, turn us around, and become submissive and obedient unto Him. Now, yielding unto God is not a one-time thing. It's not. We have to constantly check our flesh. We have to constantly remind ourselves that the Spirit is far more important than the desires of the flesh. And I want to totally and absolutely be obedient unto righteousness, because when you're obedient unto righteousness, you're obedient unto God. And I don't want to let sin reign in my body. I don't want to let the lust of the flesh control me. I do not want to yield to unrighteousness, but in fact, I want to yield myself to God totally. I want to yield to my obedience unto righteousness. I want to serve Him with joy and with gladness. And I need help in those areas. I'm the first to admit that. I say that I want to be used by God, but am I willing to be totally, totally obedient unto God and yield everything there is about me? You know, so many times we fit God into our schedule. Hello?
Come on.
So many times we work Him in there somewhere. So many times we feel like we're doing a lot for the Lord. But have we totally and absolutely yielded ourselves to God as a servant of righteousness? A servant has no say-so. A servant must do what he is told. If we're servants of righteousness, we are bound by obligation to be righteous in our life. Put away the anger. Put away the things of this world. Put away those little hurts or whatever it is. Learn to forgive one another. Learn to be as Jesus was. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Learn to love one another, especially those of the house or the body of Christ. But not only those, to love everyone and be totally and absolutely yielding unto God. I've found myself many, many times. Maybe it's because I'm retired now and I'm not in as big a hurry as I once was, but so many times I'll yield. I'll just wave to them. Y'all go ahead. They'll take off. You know. But can we yield ourselves to God like that? We yield to the Lord. I'm not going to tell you to use somebody else. I'm going to tell you, here I am, Lord. Use me. Here I am. Send me. Here I am, God. If there's anything that I can do, if there's anything you can see in me that you can use, then I yield it unto you. Are we willing to do that? If you're not, don't make that promise, because God doesn't understand broken promises. Amen. Until we're ready to be absolutely 100% committed to God, be careful when you say, God, I yield myself unto you. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen. We might ask our music if they would return and play something. You know, an altar call, we so often think, is for the lost. It's not. I mean, it is, but it's not just that only. An altar is a place that we can come. We can rededicate our life. We can refresh our spirit. We can yield ourselves unto God totally. We can help Him or ask Him to help us in avenues of our life. If the Word has touched you in any way, if you need to come forward tonight, let's come and let's pray. And if nothing else, let's just yield ourselves to God. God, if you can see anything, what is that song? If you can use anything, you can use me, because I want to be submissive unto you. Play when you get ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need prayer tonight, please come forward. Whatever the situation is, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you.
Gives me strength from pain.
Gives me strength.